Women the Engineer would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians and owners of the land on which this podcast is recorded, the Yagara and Turrbal people of Meanjin. We pay respect to their elders past and present. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Women That Engineer, a podcast to empower female engineers to break the bias one story at a time. I am chatting with an operations excellence specialist at a major biotechnology company, Prue. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It is a Thursday night for everyone listening, so if we sound a little tired, don't blame us. So, Prudence, before we dive into your engineering journey, something new that I'm bringing to the podcast is for every guest to share a win or a learning with our community. For example, this could be closing out a project or getting on a new project you're really interested in or something that makes your life easier at work. I'll go first. So my learning is that I need to buy an A4 data of page diary because today I went through my third notebook and my notes are everywhere. I take notes.
That's impressive.
Thank you. Well, I literally take notes about everything because otherwise it disappears from my brain. And I have every intention of remembering, but I never do. So I've learned to just literally write everything down. So that's my learning. What about you? Do you have a win or a learning?
I'd have to go with a learning as well. I, by absolute chance, discovered a really useful tool with the Microsoft To-Do Planner. So I'm the total opposite. I just do everything electronically because if I try and get a piece of paper in front of me, I will not be able to read my handwriting 2 days later when I'm trying to follow up, or there's no control left of my handwriting. So I'm jumping between so many things that I decided a very long time ago OneNote was going to be my best friend, and then decided by chance I would do the Microsoft To-Do list. And I found out this week that Outlook actually fully integrates with the to-do list. So if you flag an email, you can set yourself a to-do list to like follow up on that email at a particular day. And that is just going to revolutionize my working day. I'm so guilty of getting emails and being like, yep, definitely going to respond to that one. And even tried all those like clear inbox strategies. It's never worked for me. It's always like, oh, I should follow up. Maybe I'll just keep that here just for reference for later. It's never worked for me. But I think finally this flagging email and tracking it in the to-do app is going to revolutionize my workday.
Nice, nice. That's great. I am a classic leave unread until I get to it. Because yeah, I've tried like categorizing and like taking note and I just forget. So I love that. Yeah. Is that in like the Teams? Does that combine with Teams and like the planner part as well?
I think it you can have it integrated within Teams, but I have like a separate Microsoft To-Do app that is, I think it integrates all together, but like just the app is what I use to just brain dump anything people start randomly asking me to do. It goes straight in there. But I wasn't really linking it with like other major things that I needed to do. So stuff was just getting lost still. So fingers crossed this is going to work. I'll have to report back at some point, but that's my great intention to start.
I love that. You'll have to put something in our Facebook group in a few weeks, just letting everyone know it works.
Would recommend or no, it's another failed attempt at me to organize my life.
Maybe we'll find out. I wish you the best of luck in that. I think I might actually look into that. I'm writing it down. Microsoft To-Do app.
Yeah, and it's on my phone too, which is a good or a bad thing, depending if you like having work.
Yeah, no comment.
Can stress you out more.
Yeah. Okay, well, Prude, let's dive straight into the episode. As always, we start learning about how our guest got into engineering. So can you tell us all about how you started engineering?
So I was pretty lucky. I was exposed to a program at school. So I went to an all-girls school and we sort of were selected very randomly for this trial program that QUT was doing with private girls' schools, where it was like, if we get grade, I think it was 7, 8, and 9 students who are good at maths and science and give them like an accelerated engineering program, will they actually go on and study engineering? And clearly I was a success story for that program, I think. Of the two of us in grade seven when I was first selected, both of us went on to do chemical engineering.
Wow.
So it shows that, like, actually getting the idea of engineering into people's minds early can actually make such a big difference. I thought there were sort of heaps of other people who could have been selected, and honestly the program itself was pretty, like, it was interesting, but it wasn't really what we know as engineering after having studied at a university. Like, I think we, like, threw some eggs off the building, made a spaghetti bridge, you know, your classic engineering stuff, but I never really, like, saw that as my career. I think the closest we ended up getting to chemical engineering, which I eventually chose, was like making some filters with rocks and cotton wool or something like that.
Oh my God. Yeah. The number of times I've done that. Yeah. Yeah. The number of times I've done that at like a STEM activity day. Oh,
I
I'd be rich. I'd be rich.
I suppose, like, it was enough that I kind of had heard about engineering and knew that it was something that, like, I could do, and it was a lot about problem solving. So I was coming from that kind of baseline of having an idea of what engineering was. And then I have this really clear memory of, like, I think it was grade nine, reading the UQ engineering perspective. This is going to sound like an ad for UQ, but it's definitely not. I just remember reading the glossy brochures that they used to hand out, and being like, chemical and biological engineering, that sounds really cool. It, like, I was kind of, oh, do I want to do medicine? Do I want to do law? Do I want to do engineering? And I was like, chemical and biological, it's got that bit of medicine without having to rote learn everything for 7 years. This sounds like exactly what I want to do. And so from like grade nine onwards, I was 100% chemical engineering, and I'd even chosen my major, and never wavered. Basically all the way through. The only thing I kind of debated when I got to grade 12 was, oh, maybe I should do like a dual degree, or like exactly how I was going to do engineering. But I stuck with chemical engineering and went through biological all the way.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that you knew exactly what you wanted to do. I was also hooked in. Same story. I was like, science, boring. And then I was like, medicine, too intense. And then, yep, found chemical, biological engineering, went, that is so cool. And I love that that was from grade nine. That's amazing. Yeah. And now you are literally working in a chemical and biological engineering role. That's so,
I know.
Yeah.
So, like, it's been a weird journey, definitely. Certainly parts that I would not have anticipated back when I was at high school. But sort of getting to this point at the end, you can really see how all the different experiences I've had along the way have kind of led to this point. And even though you said my role at the beginning was operational excellence specialist, it's an interesting role because it's kind of engineering adjacent, which we can get into more later when I talk a bit more about like what the actual role entails. But I'm going to start a new job soon, which is around data engineering. So I've now kind of gone on to the next stage of that journey, which is not even what you typically call like chemical engineering. It's sort of taking that whole engineering idea and everything that I've learned so far and applying it to a further type of engineering that's even less away than what I thought I would be doing back when I was like, oh, that glossy brochure sounds nice. But certainly I think like working in the industry is what I really wanted to do. I think chemical engineering was what kind of got me to work in the industry that I wanted to work in. And certainly for me, I think it's less about like what I do in my day-to-day job, but more about like working in the industry as a whole. And I find so much about it interesting, not just the sort of the process engineering and the technical side of it, but how all the systems kind of work together to be able to get drugs to patients at the end of the day.
Yeah, definitely. I think you work in a really interesting industry that I think actually has a really, really big role to play in society, especially with medicine becoming so advanced, that is really coming from you and the companies you work for. And you said, like, it's funny how you look now and you look back about how you got where you are. And I don't doubt that you probably put in a lot of hard work to get where you are. So don't forget that too when you look back. But yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about your role and the industry you work in? And you've got this change into data engineering. How did that happen for you?
So yeah, I suppose some of it comes a little bit from the pathway that I went through university. So I didn't just do a straight chemical engineering BEME program. I actually did part of my university studies overseas through the UQ's European double degree program. And so for 2.5 years out of the 6 years in total that I was at uni, I was studying at an engineering school in France. And that has an entirely different academic system where they study generalist engineering rather than really, really specialized. So I got exposed to like things like quantum physics and economics and accounting, and pretty much they try and teach you just everything if you want to go into a scientific kind of management field in any way. Like even private equity people come from an engineering school in France. It's an entirely different setup to what we have here in Australia. So I got exposed, like as part of my engineering studies, to a lot of sort of university level concepts from a wide range of areas. And I think that really kind of shows in the pathway that I've taken since graduating. I kind of never went for the very technical traditional engineering role where you're just designing processes, scaling up processes in the context of our industry. And where my role that I started in, which basically started as an internship when I came back, was around operational excellence or continuous improvement. And the way I like to describe it, coming from a chemical engineering background and more to other engineers, it's like applying everything that you know about engineering, but to a people and like business processes context. So it seems some days I wake up and I'm like, oh, this role I probably could have just done if I'd done like a 3-year business management degree. but there is something, and I've seen it through the way that other people who interact with what we do and continuous improvement activities, people who come from an engineering background really excel in it. And I think it's a really good example of how if you want to go into engineering, you're not just going into the technical. I can often go into sort of the higher level management and look at how do we solve problems of getting, say, resources from A to B, or so the more of the supply chain side. Certainly, I work in the sort of the biotechnology, biopharmaceutical industry, so there's a lot of different aspects that end up influencing how we get a drug to a customer at the end of the day. There's supply chain to consider, there's quality, there's operations, there's the actual planning for the engineering, and there's obviously a huge regulatory component that you have to take into account when you're doing all your engineering, which is very unique in this industry compared to a lot of the other industries that you'd work in as an engineer. So from my perspective, it was sort of, you know, we look at chemical engineering like you've got things as inputs and you've got an output. Instead of that just being materials, it's basically how do you get people working together in to, you know, do those processes so that you can get your final product. So I feel like I think like an engineer a lot, even though my job that I've had since graduation is not really engineering in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, I mean, something that they definitely tell you, I think, when you start engineering is that engineering is how you approach a problem and how you problem solve, not necessarily those technical jobs that you get, which is exactly what you said. And I think it's really cool to see an example of someone who identifies as an engineer, is an engineer, but maybe doesn't actually just do kind of like P&IDs, designing a, you know, hydrogen process, you know, that's something like that. I think it's really interesting. But yeah, tell us how you fell into this data engineering role. Have you always kind of had an interest in data, or opportunity came up and you were like, taking it?
Well, it was when I started my role in operational excellence, I ended up also becoming very heavily involved in a project that was essentially designing a system. So for a while, if I had to put an engineering label on what I did, it was about more like a systems engineer than anything else. So what I was talking about, like that high level of designing the inputs and outputs and people and processes, I was essentially getting a new system and implementing that. And there are a lot of the tools and techniques that I was an expert in through the continuous improvement or that side of my role that were easily useful when we were deploying the system. So I ended up just learning the system really quickly and becoming the technical subject matter expert on site for it, which is, I think, another really good example of how like that technical and the process thinking kind of interacts. So for my site in particular, I sort of was the expert, ended up leading that whole project over a long period of time to deploy that system on site. And from there, I was approached and asked if I would be interested in going into this data engineering role. Now, it's not probably going to be a lot of data engineering, but it is a lot around the digitalization of process. I think they've just put a data engineer label on it, honestly. But it's around the digitalization of processes and getting process data and using that intelligently. And so it comes a little bit more full circle to a sort of the computer science stuff that I was doing when at my university experience in France, with the technical process backgrounds that I have through studying chemical engineering, through a lot of the experience that I've had. It's kind of all just pulled it all together in a role that I'm really happy to start in quite soon.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations on that. Change is always fun. It sounds like you're really interested in it, and I think you're gonna do great.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's got a global capacity as well, so it will be a lot of sort of supporting a lot of other sites, and I really like that aspect of engineering where it's working in a global organization and you're not just working on one process on one site. You're designing very high level things and working out how, okay, well, we need to deploy this in America. Can we get it in the scale of the American side? How do we do it in the site in Australia, and how do we do it at all the different sites with the different constraints and different capacities that they have?
Yeah, definitely. Big learning curve, so many opportunities, so much room for growth. No, that sounds so exciting. And so you've been in this role and you mentioned you became a technical expert, which is amazing. But what have been your biggest challenges in your role so far, or even just, I guess, getting through engineering?
I suppose not from a technical challenge at all. There was a while where I went through a full existential crisis of like, what does it mean that I have done 6 years of an engineering degree and now I'm not doing any kind of technical engineering, and honestly don't have like that much desire to switch into the sort of the more technical engineering team at my company. So I was sort of considering this and going back and forth for quite a while. It's like if I wanted to, it would have been a nice progression from where I'd sort of learned all the business processes around the organization with my technical background, could very easily go down the technical route. But having sort of understanding, okay, well, I go down the technical route and then where to from there? Like you see a lot of engineers go, there's not always, particularly in a small field like biotechnology, there's not that kind of career progression. You become technical and you stay a technical expert for maybe 10, 15 years more, and then you become a senior technical expert. There's not the like scale of the industries, particularly at the moment, at least staying in Australia, to be able to sort of keep going up the ladder if you go down the technical path, was kind of what I was feeling. So that's where I was kind of feeling really stuck in. The role that I had was a lot of fun. I had a lot of opportunities to kind of explore and, become a technical expert in a laboratory management system that I've never in my wildest dreams thought would be part of my career. And sort of, manage different processes, help redesign parts of the facility and be involved in like those big planning projects. So there was a lot of scope for me to stay in my role, but I didn't know where I was going to go from there. And I think coming back to, I'd known what I wanted to do since I was like 14, and I was like, okay, I want to work in this industry. And then you get into the industry and then you're like, oh, well, now I've kind of got a job that I like, but I don't know where that next step is. And I think that's definitely been a challenge that I had to navigate for a while, of like, okay, so where to next? Like, how do I foresee my career? And I think that's not something that's really talked about a lot for people once they get into like beyond, I didn't have the luxury of going through like a 2-year graduate program or something like that. But where you want a career that's not your, okay, technical, you do 2 years graduate, you keep going up the ladder. When it's not a nice spelled out path, where do you go from there? And so I was really lucky that I was approached for this opportunity, because I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't, whether I would have had to start looking overseas for new roles, because that's where you can kind of get into the more sort of niche or not your sort of uniform roles that they have just on smaller sites and smaller industries, I suppose. But in saying that, the biotechnology industry in Australia is really growing. So I think it's a really good time for people to be joining the industry, and there's going to be increasing opportunities for engineers to have that opportunity. But honestly, it's not there at the moment. And so it sort of makes it for a bit of a challenging career step.
Yeah, definitely. So I started my degree wanting to go into bioengineering and tissue engineering, follow that path. And I kind of came across the same thing that you're kind of coming across now. The university that I went to, they do a lot of research in that space. And then a lot of the subjects are very technical design work. And I think that's really hard because industry isn't like that. And you do kind of get in there and you're like, a lot of what I do is literally like business work. Like the work I do right now, I really enjoy my project. I can see the difference it's making, but it is nothing like what I did in uni. And I'm at a point as well where I'm kind of trying to figure out what career path I want to go down, but I'm quite lucky that I do have that set grad program. Oh, here are the sections of the business. Here's what you could do. Stay with us kind of thing. And I really love that. I love how it's set up. But yeah, it's really daunting when you go in industry and there isn't really much guidance, especially in such a niche field. I guess biotechnology is probably still seen as quite a niche field because, you know, for chemical engineers in Brisbane, dare I say Australia, it is very kind of oil and gas, mining focused.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is a great question to maybe some of the older professionals listening. I'd love for you guys to maybe put this in the Facebook group. Like, what would your advice be? I think my advice would come from a mentor that I had in my second year of university, and I told him what I wanted to go in the bioengineering area, and he was like, okay, but what does that look like? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And he was like, well, how about you go on LinkedIn and you have a look at potential careers, look at jobs, look at all the jobs in the field, read the job descriptions, and then have a look, compile them all together and go, is that what I want to do? Oh, I want to be there. I want to be a big manager. Okay, what are the steps I need to get there? Which I thought was really great advice. And do you think that's something maybe you would have done if this opportunity didn't come up? Were you kind of like, oh, maybe I'll just kind of stay where I am, maybe divert to technical? Or were you like, I think I want to do some research, maybe scoot countries kind of thing?
I was definitely in the research era, I suppose. I went down the path of sort of trying to like put into words what my dream job title would be. And because, you know, operational excellence specialist is quite generic, and, you know, I didn't necessarily want to go into like engineer one or whatever the next up in the technical space was. I was like, okay, so what am I good at? What do I like? I think I ended up setting LinkedIn job alerts for a whole lot of different countries that was like operational specialist or digital team lead or some very generic stuff, and you can filter on the industry. So I was just having like these very specific jobs flash up. I'm sure if anyone looked at my phone, they were like, oh, she's leaving 100%. After the process that ended up happening. But this was like predating finding out about this new role. So I kind of like through that, I was seeing what sort of jobs were out there, whether it was in Australia, if it was overseas, being very sort of clear about what I wanted. And then obviously, exactly as you said, you can read through the job descriptions, you can see, oh yeah, these are skills. So there was one particular skill in sort of a technical biotech thing, but quality management and how to manage change within the regulated industry. There's a lot of steps and hoops you need to jump through. I kind of was familiar with the process, but I'd never done it. So I was able to, you know, talk to my boss and say, oh, maybe as part of the current work that I'm doing, I can actually start to lead some of these or take this particular skill on. And so I was just trying to sort of diversify my skills within the scope of my current role to be kind of prepared for whatever. And I talked to my manager as well, and she was she's been very sort of great with being open with me about like where roles like this can go. But it's sort of like kind of being in this sort of operational excellence, continuous improvement space for say 10, 15 years, and then you become a senior practitioner or a senior specialist or whatever. And then all of a sudden you're at like general management. It's kind of like a weird plateau, and then you can jump up the ladder really quickly. I think one of the things that I've really found is time in the industry is what counts a lot, which is a really frustrating thing to hear as a graduate. I saw so many roles, and even the role that I ended up applying for, they had like 3 years experience necessary. And I've, you know, graduated end of 2022. So just trying to like work out how to justify the experience when I was like, I know I can perfectly well do the job and meet the criteria. It's just you put an arbitrary amount of time on there. That can kind of be really demoralizing, I think. As I remember being told when I was doing some of the university networking events, and I said to someone that I was going to go and sort of do the BEME and spend a year and a half, 2 years in France. And they're like, why would you do that? Why would you not just graduate earlier? And I was like, oh, I think like this would be a really good, like, you know, experience. And, you know, I'd done French at school. I was really excited for it. And I was really shocked that like I'd hear people from industry being like, no, you should just graduate. And it sort of, it stuck with me. And now looking back as someone who like has done the longer journey through university, I can definitely see the merits of some, especially if there's like an industry with a grad program. Industry cares about the amount of time you spend in industry. Maybe, you know, through if you're going through other pathways, it's not quite as important. But then again, the internship that I did in France was what opened the doors to allow me to get to the internship that got me, you know, the permanent role where I am today. I certainly don't think I would be in the same position right now if I hadn't gone and done the 2.5 years in France. The other big part of what I got out of being overseas was the industry that I wanted to go in was so much more mature, which was really the main driver of me going there in the first place. But I got involved with a major professional association while I was over in France and have continued on the program organizing committee of their conferences to this day. I'm actually going to Boston in a week's time to go and be the program committee for the conference that I've, you know, started back in France. Not started the conference, started like being involved in when I was in France.
Oh, that's so exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to go back. And by being involved with those sorts of professional organizations has also opened up so many opportunities. And I think that's the other part of how I ended up getting this role that I'm in now is, or about to start, is because I was able to explore an area of the biotech industry around digital transformation that no one really talks about in Australia, but worldwide it's really like the cutting edge of where we want to be, like how we, you know, using data and automation and all those, like, we're not just talking about in the biopharmaceutical industry, but there's a lot of additional challenges in the industry to implementing it. And, you know, for the last 3 years, my third year on the program committee, I've been leading the track that's talking about that. And just by having that experience and that exposure to what's at the cutting edge of the industry, it's pretty incredible the sort of perspective that gives you. So even while I'm doing a reasonably small scale, you know, systems rollout in Brisbane, Australia, I'm actually sort of linking that to, okay, I can see how this is like the first step in a huge industry-wide transformation, which makes it way more exciting, honestly. Certainly it's, you don't get too many people in Australia who kind of have that perspective. So I would say whatever route you take is really valuable, but I'm glad I did what I did.
No, definitely. I think everyone's path is different, and I'm frustrated for you that, you know, someone said that to you, and I'm sure they meant well, but and I see, I look at you and I wanted to do that exchange. I wanted to go to Sweden because, you know, got a bit of Swedish in me, thought it'd be fun, be a Scandi gal. No, I thought it would be a really great opportunity, and I sadly didn't get to go. So I look at that and I'm like, God damn, she's living my life. You know, you went and you had a great time, and I think it's so cool sometimes you just take those opportunities. Don't listen to other people. If that's what you wanted to, take that opportunity. And now it's given you this foresight into this industry. And dare I say, is probably going to help you become such a big leader in this industry, because you have those connections and that knowledge to say, let's do something different. Let's take that extra step. And I think that's really valuable. So I'm glad that you don't regret France, because it sounds like...
I was there during COVID, so there were definitely
moving France. Oh, of course.
Definitely a good call.
Yeah, 100%. I think a lot of us would kill to go on exchange in France and be able to speak French fluently to be able to do that, because I don't doubt that you had to do it in French. Sadly, we're going to have to wrap up the podcast pretty much now because we're running out of time. But I have absolutely loved learning about your role and talking about how you've been navigating this industry. I think you've given us such great insight into the biotechnology area, which I think maybe a lot of people don't really know about. And it's been so fun hearing of your trip to France, the learnings that you've done, the great opportunities that have come your way, and to hear you really succeeding in your role. It's really great to see, and what you've only been out of uni for what? Over two and a half years now?
It's flown, honestly. Yeah. No. It doesn't feel like I'm...
Yeah, and I think you're doing absolutely amazing. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast to share your story. This podcast wouldn't be possible without people like you. Just before we wrap up the podcast, actually, one more thing is I wanted to ask, what is one thing that you wish you knew when you started your engineering journey? Just one thing.
I think I wish that I had I knew what chemical engineering was from day one, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's a weird journey through engineering, finding your, like, what this specialization actually means. You hear about what your potential careers could be from very early on, but I think a really good example is in first year I did a research placement, and it was around monoclonal antibody production, and I was like, oh, I don't actually care about how you produce drugs at all. All I'm interested is in, like, drug discovery. Mm-hmm. And the senior leader looked at me. I was like, that's really weird. Why are you studying engineering if you want to do drug discovery? I was like, okay, sure, we'll give you something in drug discovery, but I don't think that's what you actually want to do. And it was only until, like, the year later when I actually understood what process engineering was and how processes work that I was like, oh, I probably could have, like, taken more advantage of those sorts of opportunities early on if I kind of known a little bit more. But in saying that, there's not much I would have changed. I loved studying chemical engineering, even the late nights and the heartaches and the stress that you need. Like, there's nothing quite like going through that degree. So I don't want to wish I'd changed anything, but I think knowing the direction and what the reality would have been like, and how, you know, maybe, as you said before, like, your job when you get out at the end of the day is probably not going to be doing P&IDs, and you're not going to walk in the door and start doing reactions calculations from first principles. You kind of, you know, have to have that experience and the life experience on the side, and everything else that you can kind of bring in to your job will serve you well in ways often you don't even expect down the line.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think you've really hit the nail on the head there. I think we as an industry have a lot of work to do in breaking down those misconceptions. And I think that can probably help us get more people in engineering. Pri, this is all I've had time for today. I will be dropping a post in our Facebook group when I release this episode, which is a Friday, to those who are listening on the day. I hope you're listening on the day I release it. So everyone listening, share us your thoughts. Give us your advice on how to, you know, plan out your career where maybe the path isn't clear. I think that was a really great challenge that you brought up, Prue, and something that I would like to learn more about. Again, thank you so much, Prue. And everyone listening, I will see you all in our next episode.
Thank you.
Hi there. I hope you're loving this episode of Women That Engineer. Want to be on the podcast and share your story? No matter where you are in your career, I and your fellow listeners want to know all about it. Send an expression of interest to the Women That Engineer email, womenthatengineerau@gmail.com, or fill out the expression of interest form in the Women That Engineer Facebook group.